Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. A little bit of a dry throat here this morning, but a little cinnamon hibiscus tea and some honey. Should be right as rain. Tad bit cold and wintry here in Kingman, and looks like it's going to be that way for the whole week. This is the second story in our week of inspirational tales. Tales of people who were just simply inspiring because they, they survived. And even though they went on to other things. Yesterday, I shared the story of Ralph Teeter, the prolific inventor best known for cruise control, that had been blind since the age of 5. Before I share the story this morning of Jacob Miller, I want to give a hearty thank you to Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew for our theme song and for their road trip inspiring tunes. Take a listen for more great music at roadcrew66.com. Hey, you know, I think we can all agree on this. War is a horrid affair. No one involved walks away unscarred. No one walks away without a story. But rarely is a story more amazing than that of Jacob Miller. Now Miller, he served in Company K of the 9th Indiana Infantry during the Civil War. He valiantly fought in the battles of Greenbrier, West Virginia, the Siege of Corinth, Perryville, Kentucky, and Stones River. On September 19, 1863, during the bloody Battle of Chickamauga, it looked like his luck had run out. He stopped a musket ball with his face. The ball pierced him between the eyes. It tore a jagged hole and actually entered his brain. Doctors could actually see the pulsations of his brain when they got to the field hospital. And the wound never fully healed. But that is only part of the story. After he was shot, he fell backwards, and as his company was being forced to retreat, he was left for dead on the battlefield. He later recalled his captain saying, "It's no use to remove poor Miller, he's dead." In a 1911 interview, Miller said, "After a while, I became conscious, and I raised up in a sitting position. Then I began to feel my wound. I found my left eye out of its place and tried to place it back, but I had to move the crushed bone back as near together as I could. Then I got the eye in its place and I bandaged the best I could with my bandana." He thought he was blind. One eye was closed with dry blood, the other was so swollen he could see nothing. Unable to stand, he crawled through the battlefield on his hands and knees. He crawled over the dead and into a road and again lost consciousness. He awoke and was surprised that he had now had blurred vision in one eye. So he set out in search of a field hospital that was 15 miles away near Chattanooga, Tennessee. When he encountered Confederate troops, he simply played dead. I imagine with his blood-streaked face, that was pretty easy to do. Well, he passed out several times on the trip, and then he was picked up by a rider and taken to the hospital. His trip had taken several days. Needless to say, the doctors were amazed and somewhat shocked. I guess that's kind of like saying it gets a tad bit warm down in the Mojave Desert come summer. But there was little they could do. They cleaned his wound, but had to leave the ball in place. They made him comfortable and simply waited for him to die. In excruciating pain, Miller begged every doctor he saw to remove the bullet, but surgeons were unable to perform such delicate surgery in the field. Well, months later, he hadn't died, and he was sent home to Logansport, where doctors Graham Finch and Henry Coleman operated, but they were only able to remove about one-third of the musket ball. In that 1911 interview, Miller said, 17 years after I was wounded, a buckshot dropped out of my wound, and 31 years after that, two pieces of lead came out. Miller had been reported dead by his captain, and his name was printed in the hometown newspapers among those killed in action. Well, imagine the surprise of friends and family when he arrived home. Had to be quite a homecoming. Well, he did receive a pension from the government, and as the story became more widely known, he received an offer from Barnum and Bailey Circus. After all, a man with a somewhat lopsided face and a hole in the center of his forehead the size of a thumb, now that surely had to be an attraction, especially when it was linked to his amazing story of survival. Well, Miller declined the offer, and he took a string of menial jobs, the best he could manage, and he married and had a son. In the 1911 interview, Miller said that he had suffered near constant headaches. You know, that's got to be one of the greatest understatements in the history of the world. I suffered from headaches. You got shot in the forehead. But there was more. Over the years, he would suffer abrupt memory loss and wander aimlessly. He would suddenly forget names, even those of his wife and son, sometimes for weeks. And then in the blink of an eye, his memory was restored. But through it all, one memory was sharp and clear. September 19th, 1863. With incredibly vivid detail, up until the day of his death, he could recite every minute of the battle, being shot, and his journey to the hospital. He said, "Some might ask how it is I can describe so minutely my getting wounded and getting off the battlefield after so many years." Well, my answer is, I have an everyday reminder of it in my wound and constant pain in the head, never free of it while not asleep. The whole scene is imprinted on my brain as with a steel engraving. Miller was a miracle, and Miller was an inspiration for many debilitated veterans. Jacob Miller lived a long life. He died on January 13th, 1917, at the age of 88. Now, how is that for an amazing story? Hey, on tomorrow's program, I'll share the story of Phineas Gage, the man billed as neuroscience's most famous patient. This is another story of survival, of miracles, and of amazing life that proves truth is stranger and often more exciting than fiction. Hey, before I wrap this up, I want to say thank you to the Brenners, the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico, a neon-lit wonderland. Here's to a job well done. They literally transformed a derelict motel into a beautiful 1964 time capsule with all the modern amenities. If you're traveling Route 66, the Roadrunner Lodge comes with a Jim Hinckley seal of approval recommendation. And as I'm talking Tucumcari, a shout-out needs to be given to this wonderful little city. If you take the time to see one attraction in Tucumcari, my suggestion is the Mesa Lands Community College Dinosaur Museum. Absolutely outstanding. Well, my friends, until we meet again, I will bid you adios. And, we'll do this tomorrow morning, and we'll share with you the story of Phineas Gage. Adios, mi amigos.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.